If we can please turn in our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 6 through verse 8 and then jump down to verse 19 through verse 28 of the same chapter. John chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 8, and then we're going to read verse 19 through verse 28. I'm going to read the text out of the New King James Version, beginning with verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." Amen. As most of us are well aware, one of the last things that Jesus told his disciple before his ascension to heaven was to remind them of the responsibility they have as believers to proclaim his message of the gospel of the whole world. Remember, he said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all things that he himself had taught them, making disciples." It's referred to, as you all know, the Great Commission. Therefore, from Jesus' perspective, the life mission of a believer is to point people to him. That is our main function as believers. So then, if we are planning to point people in the direction of Jesus, it would be wise on our part to ask ourselves two very important questions out of the text here this morning, of which we're going to expound. The first being that, again, if I'm going to make it my life mission to point people to Jesus, the first thing I need to do is I need to understand what I'm called to do, what I'm called to do. Let's go back to verse 6 through verse 8 again. Read it out of the Amplified Version this time. There came a man commissioned and sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe in Christ the light through him. John was not the light, but came to testify about the light. As you well know, John the Baptist is one of the most important figures in the entire New Testament. His name alone is mentioned roughly at least 89 times. He had a unique calling on his life in that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. It was his job to introduce Jesus to the Jewish nation. And as a result, too, to prepare them for their Messiah. And the way that he did so, by telling them that they needed to repent of their sins. And in order to prove that they were truly repentant, he told them that they needed to be baptized in water and then undergo a change of direction in order to prepare for his coming. And of course, as you all know, the backdrop of all of that is that John's coming to a culture that is waiting for a Messiah. It is looking for a Messiah. It desperately wants a Messiah, but it's looking for a political Messiah. It's looking for a political solution to deliver them from the Roman oppression, the cultural pressure that they're under, and that's the type of liberation they were looking for. Imagine, that's what they were looking for, and then John is raised up. And here's the thing. The reason why we find out here, as we read, that they're going to send a committee from Jerusalem made up of Pharisees and Levites to question John is because they needed to know who this individual was. In other words, it was their task. They were the ones in charge of the Jewish religious system at the time, and therefore they went there inquiring. Because after all, notice, they had not seen someone like John. The nation of Israel as a whole had not seen anyone like John for some 400 plus years. Remember the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, prophesied roughly around 400, 450 years before the arrival of Jesus Christ, before the preaching of John the Baptist. It wasn't, and we touched on this before, scholars call it the silent years. In other words, the years between Malachi and, you know, Matthew is a 400-year period of silence. It wasn't that God wasn't working through the Jewish nation, but there was no known individual that was raised up having God's message that was given commission to speak on God's behalf to the entire Jewish nation. And here, John the Baptist is doing exactly that. So you can imagine the crowd, and he's drawing large crowds. So many of them probably thought that he was the Messiah. Or if not, is this Elijah? Well, Elijah never died. Did he come back to life and now he's in the wilderness? Malachi prophesied that Elijah would come before the great coming day of the Lord. Is this person Elijah? That's why they're going to ask these questions. Whereas in the case of, you know, Isaiah, he was predicting the arrival of a messenger sent before the Messiah would actually come. So therefore, we see here that when he comes, we're told in verse 6 through verse 8, notice that this John, he came to bear witness. In other words, he was called to bear witness to Jesus. He wasn't there to call attention to himself. He was merely, he says here, he was a servant sent. In fact, in verse number 20, we read this of the same chapter, chapter 1. And he confessed truthfully and did not deny that he was only a man, but acknowledged, I'm not the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed. And in verse 25, they asked him, why then are you baptizing if you're not the Christ or Elijah, nor that prophet? Here, they're asking him direct questions. One of the questions they asked him, of course, the obvious one, why are you doing what you're doing, but are you the Christ? Is this why you're doing what you're doing? Because remember, they had not seen a prophet like John the Baptist, an Old Testament-type prophet for a very long time, and all of a sudden, John is preaching with anointing, with unction, with power, and people are drawn to his teaching. That's the reason why they sent this committee from Jerusalem to investigate. Is this guy a false prophet? Is he a true prophet? But notice here, John knows exactly what he's called to do. If you and I are going to be pointing people to Jesus, we absolutely need to know what we are called to do. If we don't know what we're called to do, it's going to make our job very difficult. Here, John says in his own testimony, he's not the Christ. We read in verse 6 through verse 8, notice it said John was not the light. Jesus is the light. John wasn't the light. He was merely called to bear witness to that light or to point people to Jesus, get the nation ready, get their eyes fixed on Jesus, not on John. It helps if you and I know what our job description is. And here, John the Baptist knew exactly what he was called to do, and we need to know exactly what we're called to do. We are called to be his witnesses in our culture and in our generation. We're here to witness on behalf of Christ, and we're here to witness to others. We're here to tell others about Jesus. Because after all, the last time Jesus saw his disciples before he ascended, this is what he told them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were to witness about Jesus' teachings, Jesus' miracles, the person of Christ. That's what they're there for. Before anyone gets hired in the secular world, I know this happened to me and anyone that's worked in any type of job, you're usually, shall we say, encouraged, if not obligatory, to appear before an interview. After all, you want this job. Are you qualified to do this job? So they're going to interview you, look at your resume, if it's appropriate, and ask about your work experience, so forth and so on. And should you pass that interview and the door opens for you to receive that job, then they're going to have, if they haven't told you this during the interview, they'll make clear once you're hired what your job description is. The reason they do it is so that you can stay in your own lane. In other words, this is what you're applying for, and this is what we're expecting from you now that you've been hired, and they outline certain responsibilities, depending on the nature of the profession, what you're required to do. It's a job description. And so my responsibility as an employee is to make sure that I'm fulfilling my job description, that I'm not trying to do someone else's job, I'm trying to do the job that they hired me to do. I'm trying to stay in my own lane. And this is exactly what John the Baptist is showing us and teaching us as believers, that we need to stay in our own lane. We're called upon God to be a witness. We are here to talk about Jesus. We are here to expound the teachings of Christ. We are here to draw attention to him. The reason being because we're not the light. We read it in verse 6 through verse 8. John says that, it says here, he came to testify about the light. He came as a witness. John came as a witness. He came to testify of that light. And John says here in verse 8, John was not the light. John the Baptist, of course, was not the light, but came to testify about the light. That was John's job description from the Old Testament. John, we read it earlier, where when they ask him, John said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 3. So his arrival has been prophesied by Isaiah and even more specifically by Malachi, where it tells us about this forerunner that is coming. So John here, I'm pretty sure that his father, Zechariah, and his godly mother must have instructed him in the teachings of Scripture, because after all, they were Levites. They were direct descendants of the house of Aaron. And remember, Elizabeth, especially her husband, was given a vision. Remember, he saw Gabriel, and Gabriel prophesied certain things about this John the Baptist. And no doubt that John the Baptist, from an early age, was being told, you're the forerunner of this Messiah that was to come. So he knew early on his job description. So here, he arrives on the scene. He's pointing people to Jesus. He's saying, listen, you need to get ready. There's one that's coming after me. But because of the anointing on that man's life, some in the crowd probably thought that he was a Messiah. The reason they're asking these questions from this committee that was sent from Jerusalem is because they're not sure who he is. They're investigating because, after all, they're responsible for the spiritual condition of that nation, and this man may be a false prophet. So they're asking him direct questions. And the reason why John the Baptist isn't nervous or intimidated by their presence there is because he knows exactly what he's called to do. He has a clear understanding what he's called to do. It's the same thing for you and I. If we have a clear understanding what God has called us to do, oh, okay, God has called me to be his witness, and he wants me to witness to others through doors that he's opened, divine opportunities that he sets up, however way possible, I'm here to witness. This is my calling. This is my role. Just as John the Baptist was sent, in his case, it's unique. We are not the forerunners of Christ. He's already arrived, but we too follow in his footsteps to call attention to Jesus. That's what our job description is. In fact, go if you would to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, please. Very famous passage. We're going to look at verse 4 through verse 8. Because at this particular time, the disciples still aren't very clear, even though he told them what they're called to do. But see, in order for you and I to fulfill our life's mission, remember, from Jesus' perspective, my life's mission as a believer is to bring people to him. That's what I'm to do. I'm to bring people to Jesus. And if opportunity presents itself, help disciple them to become like him. But we're to bring people to Christ. And in order for us to do that, we have to have a clear understanding what I'm called to do. And I'm called to be a witness. We read here, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through verse 8, please. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice they were still confused as to what their job description was. They're still confused about a lot of things, and so Jesus spells it out for them so that they can stay in their own lane. He tells them, listen, don't worry about when I will establish this political eternal kingdom that you're thinking about. My Father and I and the Holy Spirit will take care of that. That's none of your business. But here's where your focus should be, because this is what I've called you to do. What I'm saying here is I'm calling you to be my witness, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, who will empower you to do what I'm asking you to do. But so that we're clear here, we're taught, you shall be witnesses. And in their case, of course, it was first in Jerusalem, then through all Judea and Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. Well, we have the same commission, because we know from the book of Matthew, the last chapter, 28, also in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, he's telling us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been commissioned, but what are we exactly called to do? We're called to be witnesses. That's what we're primarily called to be. We're called to be witnesses, to draw attention to Jesus and to tell others about him. This is our job description. So the first question we need to ask ourselves, if I'm going to point people to Jesus, which from God's perspective is my life's work, I need to stay in this lane, do I understand what I'm called to do? Because here in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus spelled it out for them. Notice he told them, you shall be witnesses to me. Not them, but to him. John chapter 20, verse 21 through 22. Let's read this first out of the New King James Version and then the Amplified. So Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. Notice, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Version reads again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus is telling them, listen, as my Father sent me to testify to his honor, to his glory, to fulfill his commission, he said, I'm sending you. We're told here in chapter 1 of the book of John that this man, John the Baptist, came as a witness. Notice, to testify about the light. It makes clear he wasn't the light, but he was to testify to that light. Same thing for you and I. This is our job description. So if I'm going to point people to Jesus, I need to have a clear understanding what I'm called to do. I'm called to be a witness, nothing more, nothing less. That's my job description. And if I can just remember that and keep it at the forefront of my heart and mind, then it will make things a lot easier. In other words, John saw himself as God's servant. Remember, he was sent. He obediently followed the one that sent him. Remember, Zechariah, his father, received an angelic appearance while he was ministering the temple at the altar of incense. Gabriel showed him and told him the nature of the son. He and Elizabeth, even though they were past bearing children, he would be the miracle, he would be the, shall we say, the Isaac of the New Testament, and that he would be the forerunner of Christ. And now John finally comes to adulthood at the age that he's called, and now he's ministering throughout Jerusalem, and this is what he's sharing with them. He's saying, prepare the way, the Messiah is coming. And now a committee is sent to investigate what he's teaching and what he's all about, and now they're putting him under notice, saying, listen, who are you? You know, we've been sent by the religious authorities in Jerusalem. We're investigating here. And imagine, an interrogation isn't very pleasant, especially if the nature of the questions seem to be hostile or very pointed. Because again, Keep in mind, the Jewish nation had not seen someone like John the Baptist, this Old Testament prophet, for a very, very long time. And all of a sudden he shows up and he's preaching with such power, such authority, such anointing. And crowds are being drawn to him. The religious authorities are nervous only because is this guy in one of these cult leaders that are going to lead people astray? And this is where cult leaders pop up. They don't have a clear understanding of what they're called to do, if indeed they're called to do what they're doing. Because if we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, then we have to have a clear understanding of what I'm called to do. And what I'm called to do, according to my job description handed to me directly from Scripture, is I'm here to be a witness to Jesus. I'm here to testify of him, and I'm here to point others in his direction. That's my clear understanding. So if you and I were put in a situation, that's why John the Baptist isn't nervous or fearful or intimidated by these religious authorities, because he knows who called him, and he knows exactly what he's here to do. He's not trying to draw attention to himself, even though the crowds are coming. He's trying to draw attention and prepare that nation. Remember, his message was simple. Repent, for the kingdom, remember, the kingdom of God is about to appear. He said, listen, I'm baptizing you in water, but you need to be, there's someone coming after me that's mightier than I. I can't even untie the latches of his sandals. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. He wasn't drawing people to himself. He was obviously exalting Jesus, because after all, that's what he was called to do. He was sent to be a witness. John understood his job description, and therefore he stayed in his own lane. And so when these religious authorities came down on him, he wasn't in any way intimidated, because he understood clearly, I know what I'm called to do. I know exactly what I'm doing. And if you and I have a clear understanding, it will make our life a lot easier when people try to press on. Well, what are you trying to make a following for yourself? What are you doing? Why are you telling people about Jesus? He's not the only way to go. Salvation. Well, our comeback is simply, listen, I think you're a little foggy on what I'm called to do. I know exactly what I'm called to do. I know exactly where I came from. I was a sinner that God saved by grace. And at that point in time, I've been commissioned to be a witness and a light. And I'm sharing Jesus with as many people as God gives me the opportunity, because this is what I'm called to do. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a born-again believer. And this is my job description. That job description didn't come from some high-ranking religious authority or some priest or some pastor or some bishop. It comes straight from God himself. We just read it in the book of Acts. The disciples were still a little confused as to what they're supposed to do. Is the kingdom coming now? And Jesus set them straight. If you're not clear as to what your job description is, he told the disciples, listen, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you in the day of Pentecost. And the reason that Holy Spirit is going to empower you is so that you can be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in all Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And you and I need to be able to answer that question for ourselves. Do we as believers understand what we're called to do? Because if we don't, then we're going to get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. My job is very simple. As a believer, talk about Jesus, exalt Jesus, talk about his teachings, encourage people to seek after Jesus, pray that they might come to Jesus Christ, do everything I can to encourage them to unburden themselves to the Lord, pointing them to him for salvation. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to testify, to witness that he's the Christ, he's the Savior, and he can help you. The second question we need to ask ourselves, okay, the first one is, do I understand what I'm called to do? The second one is similar. Do I understand what I'm called to be? Do I understand what I'm called to be? Let's look at verse 8 again. Notice it says, the Amplified Version, John was not the light, but came to testify about the light. Then we read in verse 19 through 28, reading out of the Amplified text, this is the testimony of John the Baptist when the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed truthfully and did not deny that he was only a man, but acknowledged, I'm not the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Are you the promised prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Tell us, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" Then he said, "I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they that had been sent from the Pharisees, they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered, "I baptize only in water, but among you there stands one who you do not recognize and of whom you know nothing. It is he, the preeminent one, who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie, even as his slave." These things occurred in Bethany across the Jordan, at the Jordan River crossing where John was baptizing. Now notice they give John an opportunity here. Can you imagine? You have crowds. John is drawing thousands to these baptisms. His reputation is now growing. Imagine, so much so that it drew the attention of the religious authorities in Jerusalem, and they sent a contingency, a committee, to find out what's going on here. Who is this person? And notice they ask him, "Who are you?" That's a good question. I mean, can you imagine? He has a following. The temptation. By their questioning, they think he might be the Christ. Some are thinking he's Elijah. Some are even thinking maybe he's the prophet that Moses prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, that was to come, that was going to be like Moses. And they're asking him questions, "Who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah?" And here he's given an opportunity to tell them, "Well, John, who are you? What are you called to be? Who do you claim?" Notice they're asking him to talk about himself. And to John's credit, he has nothing to say about himself. The reason John has nothing to say about himself is because he understands, first and foremost, what he's called to do. And here, in answer to their questions, he says, "I'm not the Christ." In fact, he denies it plainly. "I'm not the Christ." See, this is where cult leaders fail. They are gathering a following, the money's flowing in, and pretty soon Satan deceives them into thinking that they might be the Christ. They might be the source of the blessing. They might be the source of their own anointing. That's why people are being drawn to them. And they get puffed up and their heads begin to swell and they think they're all that they can walk on water, but they're not. And the reason being is because they don't understand who they're called to be. Believers, irregardless of our calling within the body of Christ, we are first and foremost witnesses to Christ. Here's the thing. You and I, we read it earlier. It is told repeatedly, this man came, what? To bear witness to the light. Then it says he's not the light. I'll give you an illustration from science. Our own solar system. The Milky Way galaxy. All of us are familiar with the beautiful moon that we see at night. I love the time of the year when the moon is especially really large. You almost feel like you can just touch it with your hands. And it's this full moon. It's bright. You and I need to understand, why are we able to see the moon, a full moon, at night when it's pitch dark? It literally emanates with light. You and I need to understand, the light that the moon seems to be producing, it's not its own. The only reason we're able to see the moon is because the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. The sun shines upon the moon, and then the moon is brightened only because the sun is shining on it. The sun is the source of the light, and that's why we're able to see the moon even in pitch darkness. The moon in and of itself has no light. It can only reflect the light of the sun. And this is why we need to ask ourselves the question, do I understand who I'm called to be? I'm not the source of any light. I don't have any light within me. In fact, because of my human nature I'm born with, all I have in me is a nature that's fallen, broken, needing to be redeemed. I have no light in and of myself. And they're asking John here, who are you? And John doesn't want to talk about himself because he's not here to talk about himself. he's been here sent to talk about Jesus, because after all, Jesus is the source of the light. He's the light. I'm just here to reflect the light of the Son of God. In the same way that the moon reflects the light of the sun, you and I as believers, we're only reflecting the light of Christ. We have no light whatsoever. And somehow in individuals that have lost out with God, somehow they thought or led to believe that they're the source of the light. No, you're not the source of the light. Jesus is the light. I'm just here to reflect that light. That's who I'm called to be. I'm just a servant. I'm just like the moon. I'm just here to reflect. I have no light of my own, but I can reflect the Son of God to my relatives, my co-workers, my neighbors. He's the source of the light. Any spiritual good that people see in and through you and I, it doesn't come from us. I know my place. Here we're told John the Baptist was not the light, but that he came to testify the light. Why? Because John has no light in and of himself. He's a human being, fallen and broken. The source of his light, the source of his anointing, the reason he's called is all because of the light of God, in Jesus Christ, of course. And here, they're given an opportunity. Can you imagine the temptation? Easily, because, well, yeah, I'm Elijah. Make up your own congregation right then and there. You had thousands of people coming. Can you imagine the temptation that John the Baptist had? There's thousands coming, and they have respect, and they're doing exactly what he's telling them to do. So much so that it's causing the people in Jerusalem to be nervous. They send a committee to investigate what's happening here. This man has this mega church growing. Where did he come from? Who are you? What do you say about yourself? And here they give him an opportunity. They said, who are you? Notice, John says, I'm just a voice. Notice he doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't exalt himself. He doesn't glorify himself, because he understands what he's called to be. My role is a servant. I'm here to serve Jesus. He's the light. He's the source of the light. The best that I can do is reflect that light. Obviously, through the way that John conducted himself, the way he spoke, the anointing on his life, he's reflecting the light of Christ. He doesn't have any light of his own, because the source of the light is Jesus Christ himself. The day that you and I forget this, we're on very dangerous ground. And we're going to find ourselves in a place where God will have to humble us. And worst case scenario, you and I know in recent history, back in the 70s, what was it, Jim Jones? Remember that whole situation? Even after that, remember that David Koresh in Waco, Texas? And there's been a slew throughout all of history, people thinking they're the light. They're the source of the light. And rather than drawing disciples to Jesus, they're drawing disciples to themselves. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through verse 32, please. Not only do I need to understand what I'm called to do, I need to understand who I'm called to be. I'm merely God's servant. My identity is in him. I'm not the light. He's the light. I will never be the light. But what an honor that we have that we can reflect the light. Like the moon reflecting the light of the sun, that beautiful moon, which is amazing in itself that we have, that is so vital to our existence here on earth. The reason I can see it at night is because it is reflecting the light of the sun. It's not the source of the light, but it's reflecting the light of the sun. Acts chapter 20, notice St. Paul's concerned here. Verse 28, please. Acts chapter 20. Notice his concern that he's warning them that some of them are going to think that they're all that and they're the source of the light. And when you think you're the source of the light, you know what happens? You're not going to be drawing people to Jesus. You're not going to be testifying to him. You're going to be drawing people to yourself. And that's not what God has called me to be. I'm his instrument to point people to Jesus Christ. I'm not the light. I will never be the light. I'm merely called to reflect that light. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, please. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Here Paul is saying, listen, I'm warning you that there's going to be some among you, they're going to draw disciples after themselves. Why? Because they got it in their head that they're the source of the light. No. You and I are not the light. We will never be the light. But I thank God that even as broken, frail human beings who have been redeemed by God, we have the beautiful opportunity given to us by God to reflect the light of his Son. I'm here to channel Jesus Christ, who is the source of the light, in the way I speak, in the way I act, in the way I try to draw people to God. I'm not the light. I'm here to reflect the light. Jesus is the source of the light. I'm called to be the person reflecting the light. I'm not the source of the light. And here, when they pressured John the Baptist, they're like, then why are you baptizing? If you're not the Messiah, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not that prophet, why are you doing what you're doing? And they gave him an opportunity. Who are you? Tell us about yourself. Well, you notice a good example for us to follow. John didn't say anything about himself other than, I'm not the light. I told you I'm not the Christ. He tells him, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Son of God. I'm merely here to reflect the Son of God. And if you and I understand this, God's anointing and blessing will be upon us, because after all, we're staying in our lane. So that's why it's fundamental. From God's perspective, we've already established from the beginning, from God's perspective, the mission of every believer, irregardless of our calling, is to point people to him. The disciples were confused, so Jesus straightened them out in the book of Acts. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, not to glorify yourself, not to exalt yourself, not to point people to you, but that you might be witnesses to me. I'm the source of the light. I just need you to reflect me. I just need you to present me and witness to small and great, because that's what I'm called to be. If we're confused as to who we're called to be, I'm not the Christ. Again, I will never be the Christ. I admire the Christ. I emulate the Christ. I pray that he'll make me more like the Christ, but I will never be the Christ. I'm merely here to point people to the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit and with power. John chapter 3, please. John the third chapter. His own disciples were getting nervous. John the Baptist's own disciples were getting rather nervous because somehow Jesus' congregation was growing and his began to dwindle. So out of respect for their teacher, John, being their initial person that encouraged them, they're loyal to their spiritual father. But notice John's response when they were envious for his sake of what Jesus was doing and the crowds that he was attracting. John the Baptist put them in their place because he knew who he was called to be. John chapter 3, verse 27, please, through verse number 34, please. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 27 through verse 34. I'm going to read it both out of the New King James Version and the Amplified as well. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. The reason being, that's the source of the light. Verse 28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Listen to verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Amplified Version, same text, beginning of verse 27. John replied, "A man can receive nothing, he can claim nothing at all, unless it had been granted to him from heaven, for there is no other source than the sovereign will of God. You yourselves are my witnesses that I stated, I'm not the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, but I have only been sent ahead of him as his appointed forerunner and messenger to announce and proclaim his coming. For he who has the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands by and listens to him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this pleasure and joy of mine is now complete. He must increase in prominence, but I must decrease. He who comes from heaven is above all others. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks about things of the earth. His viewpoint and experience are earthly. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has actually seen and heard, of that he testifies, and yet no one accepts his testimony as true. Whoever receives his testimony has set to his seal of approval to this. God is true, and he knows that God cannot lie. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure, generously and boundlessly." Here John is saying, listen, I know what I'm called to do, and I understand clearly what I'm called to be. And he tells his own loyal disciples here, his own students, he tells them, listen, don't you remember, I've said it publicly and repeatedly, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the source of the light. I never will be the source of the light. Notice what he says, so that you can get this straight. Jesus must be elevated. He must increase continually, have prominence. I must decrease. I must get out of the way. He's the source of the light. I'm only pointing people to the source of the light. So if he's being exalted, then praise God, because this is what God wants to happen. In other words, what John said, listen, the reason Jesus is doing what he's doing, it says here, because he received it from God. The source of his anointing, the source of his calling, who he is in the second person of the Trinity, I had nothing to do with that. That's all God. So if you're going to have an issue that his church is growing and mine is dwindling, then you need to take it up with the one who sent him, because he's the source of the light. He's the originator of this plan. The reason I'm here is because he sent me in order to witness to him. And so that we can understand this, he must increase, I must decrease. And that's a good example for all of us to follow. It will keep us humble. It will keep us broken. Why? Because it will remind us what we're called to be. They asked him directly, who are you? They gave him an opportunity to exalt himself, to glorify himself. He had the stage. Notice John wasn't intimidated, and he wasn't even nervous about answering, because he knows, I'm not the Christ. I will never be the Christ. I'm merely reflecting the light in the same way that the sun sends light to the moon, and the moon just reflects the light of the sun. The moon has no light of its own. I can see it only because it's reflecting the light of the sun. Same way here. The only way that people can see Jesus in and through us is because we're reflecting his light. And that's a good thing. If they can see Christ in us, but for us to even entertain somehow, well, I'm the source of the anointing I have. I'm the source of my understanding of Scripture. It all comes from me. No. John the Baptist makes it clear here. See, this is why he's one of the most admired men in all of history. Imagine, again, he's mentioned it in the New Testament 89 times, or probably even more, in the New Testament alone. Jesus commended him. Remember when he was about to be beheaded? He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Remember in Matthew chapter 11. Did you go out to see a politician, a reed blown about by the wind? That's this way. He goes, no. You went out to see a prophet? Yeah, and more than a prophet. He said, a greater individual that was born of woman has not risen than John the Baptist. Why? Because his calling was unique. There was only one forerunner of Christ. And see, John understood what he was called to do and who he was called to be. And if you and I understand that, I can guarantee you, you and I are going to be witnesses to Christ. He'll be able to use us simply because we know that we are only here to reflect that light. And that it should be our prayer, Lord, help me to reflect the light of your Son. I have no light. You're the light. Help me to be a witness so that people can see you through the way I speak, through the way I act, and the way that you use me. I don't want to draw attention to myself. So if someone were to ask us that same question, who are you? We should be able to answer in the same manner that John the Baptist said. Well, for your information, I'm not the Christ. I'm merely his humble servant, endeavoring to live as best I can through the grace and mercy of Almighty God. And if you have an issue or a problem, I pray that I'll be able to help you, but I'll only be able to help you to the degree that I'm allowing Christ to manifest his life through me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because after all, he's the light, he's the source of the light, and why would I steer you in any other direction but in the direction of Almighty God? So let us be encouraged this morning. The question is, are you his faithful witness? Well, that depends on your answer to two basic questions. One, do I understand what I'm called to do? And two, do I understand what I'm called to be? Let's follow the example of John the Baptist. He knew exactly what he was called to do. He knew exactly who he was called to be. And it's the reason why God has honored him in the scriptures and why he was a blessing to his mother and father. And even till this day, John the Baptist is an encouragement and a blessing. We need more men like this prophet that God raised up in the New Testament. I can guarantee you, if men like this were in pulpits in this country, this nation would not be in the spiritual condition that it's in, because it would hear a very clear, unadulterated voice speaking with power, with anointing, but with great humility, reflecting the light of Christ to a dying and lost world. Amen.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We sincerely hope that this podcast has been a blessing to you and encourages you to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ for the City podcast is a ministry of the Burning Bush Tabernacle Church in Chicago, Illinois.